This Sunday morning, I was going to introduce John Frederick. I've asked John to open the Word. A little story on this. It's really interesting. Some people have a real desire to be like, I want to be in the pulpit. I want to be in the pulpit. I want to be in the pulpit. Oh, I want to preach. I want to be in the pulpit. And this is how it works. Nick had that flavor years ago, right, Nick? You said they had that? And then finally, he came to a point. Nick came to a point where he said, you know what? My identity is going to be in Christ as a son in the Lord, and I'm not going to be concerned about ever preaching or anything like that. And guess what? The moment that happened, this is crazy. The moment that happened, Heather and I said, you know, I think Nick needs to preach. After it was out of his system.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing? Because our identity is sonship.
Yep. Amen.
Our identity is always sonship.
That's right.
It's not in what we do. It's
right.
Who we belong to.
Amen.
And then out of flowing out of that. So,
amen.
Hallelujah. Love you, buddy.
Love you, Pastor. Thank you, my man.
Let's open our hearts to the Word, Jesus.
Praise God. I'm glad I have this opportunity this morning. And as Pastor was saying, at one point in time, I did come to that crossroads in my life, Pastor. I said the exact same thing. I don't need this. I don't care if I ever preach again from the pulpit. I don't care if I ever do a Bible study again, you know, because that's not where my identity lies. My identity is in Christ. So, and as He began to heal me up and do some great things in my life since I've been here, I realized that, you know, I've come to realize that it's not what I do, but it's who I am. You know, I'm a mailman, but that's not who I am. That's what I do. So, and if I'm up here preaching, that's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. That's who I am. I'm a son of Jesus Christ. So, this morning, I count it a privilege and an honor to be here to be able to share the Word with you. And let's just pray before we get started. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you for this morning. We thank you already that you've been moving. Praise and worship was awesome. We thank you that your presence is here. And you said that where two or more are gathered, you're there in the midst. We thank you that you're here this morning, Father. It's nothing that we have to work up. It's nothing that we have to do. We just have to be. And you're here to meet us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just love you this morning. We thank you for the Word. I pray that every single word that I speak will just fall on good ground and bring forth a good seed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to talk about the law of liberty. How many of you here have traditions at home? Anyone have traditions, like certain things that you may do, things that you do at Christmas time or even at Thanksgiving that you have that you kind of go through? Well, I want to tell you a tradition about there was a family that used to cook a ham. And every single Christmas they would take this ham and they would cut the two ends off. And then they would cook it a certain way, and man, it was great. It always turned out awesome. Well, you know, the great-granddaughter was thinking, well, why do we always cut the two ends off? What's so important about that? Why does it, you know, what's so traditional about us cutting this ham and the two ends off? Well, the great-grandmother was still alive, and she's the one that started this tradition. So everyone went to her, and it was at Christmas time, and they went to her, and they said, Grandma, why do you always cut the two ends of the ham off before we cook it? And she was like, because I didn't have a pot big enough. I mean, that was the only reason why she cut the two ends of the ham off, you know? So it had nothing to do with the taste. It had nothing to do with anything except that she didn't have a pan big enough to cook this big ham. So a lot of times in our life, we have certain things that we do, traditions that we've picked up, things that have been passed down, that really have no weight whatsoever on the kingdom of God. And God's saying, I never instituted that. I never told you to do that. So, but out of habit, out of tradition, we do certain things. And I know that there was a speaker that was speaking one time, and he's a pretty well-known speaker. And there was about 5,000 people in the sanctuary. And they had a great service, great altar call. But afterward, he's standing there, and a lady comes up to him, and she goes, great service, Pastor. You know, what you said was awesome. It was great. But I don't understand. Why did you not turn and pray to the altar when you prayed? And he was like, well, because we don't have to turn and pray to the altar. And she goes, in my church, every single Sunday, when the pastor closes the service, everyone turns and prays to the altar before they leave. And he was like, well, God's not at the altar. God's in me. God's in us. We don't have to turn and pray to the altar. But see, she was so stuck in her tradition that she felt like that the service wasn't over until everyone turned and prayed to the altar. Then they were dismissed. So that's how it is a lot of times in our lives, right? We have certain things that we do, certain traditions that we picked up. Well, in our main scripture today is actually James 1:25. It says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I know a lot of times that I'm not a very traditional guy. You know, you guys have seen my suits. You see my shirts I wear. I'm not very traditional, right? That's just who I am, you know. But I'm not very traditional in the things that I do. But a lot of times we can get stuck in certain things. And the law of liberty, as James was telling us here, it says, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. A lot of times, I know we want to do certain things. The Lord tells us to do certain things. But yet in our traditions, we feel hindered. We feel like we can't do that because, well, traditions say we can't do that. Or we're not allowed to go here. We're not allowed to go there, you know. Certain traditions say you shouldn't go into a bar, you know. But I don't have a problem with alcoholism. So guess what? I don't have a problem going to a bar because maybe the Lord's telling me to go into that bar because somebody needs saved in there. Or somebody needs to hear the word in there. Now, the Lord's telling me to do that, but in my tradition, and maybe the church that I go to says you're not allowed to go to a bar. You see what I'm saying? So the tradition that you have is overriding that voice of God that's speaking to you to go into that bar, okay? I mean, there's other examples we can get into, but I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine that I listen to a lot. His name is Sean Bowles. Anyone here ever heard of Sean Bowles? I know pastors got me hooked on Sean Bowles. I love him, man. He's great. But he's actually a minister from out in California. And he has a podcast. I listened to one of his podcasts that he had. And he always has special guests that come on these podcasts. Well, the one lady that he had on there, I can't mention her name, but the lady was like very untraditional in the things that she did. And one time she was praying and she was like, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go and I'll say anything you want me to say. How many of you guys know that when you say that to the Lord, He's going to hold you accountable to that, right? So she's driving down the road, and while she's driving, the Lord says, I want you to stop right here, go into that 7-Eleven, go up against the wall, and do a handstand. And she's like, there's no way that's you, Lord. I know that's me. That's just crazy. There's no way I'm going to go in to this store, go in there, and by the bathroom doors where they come out, and do a handstand. That's just not going to happen. And the Lord's like, I'm telling you, you need to do that. So, of course, she's having to follow. All right, Lord, you heard my prayer. You know I said that I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, and I'll say anything you want me to say. So I'll do this. So she goes into this store. She stands on her head by the bathroom doors. One of the clerks comes out, and the clerk starts screaming. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. She falls down on her knees. She's bawling. She's like, I don't understand. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? She's like, the Lord told me to. The Lord said, come in here and stand on my head. The girl says, well, I told the Lord while I was in the bathroom that, Lord, if you don't do anything in my life right now, I'm going to kill myself. But if you're really real, when I come out of this door, I want to see somebody standing on their head right by this door. So because the girl walked out of this door and saw her standing there, she got saved immediately right there in that store. So we never know in our traditions how stuck we get and how things just don't work out because we're so stuck in our traditions. You know, that was anti-traditional, amen, for her to go in and do a handstand by the door. But because of that, this young girl got saved and didn't commit suicide because she was stuck. She didn't know what else to do, so she was trusting the Lord. Amen. So Your point number one in our notes today says that the traditions of men will make the Word of God void. When we get so stuck in our traditions that we can't hear the voice of God anymore, that we begin to hear just the voices of the people around us, even maybe our pastor, even people who are leaders. Now, granted, we have great leaders here that aren't stuck in tradition. Amen. But there are certain churches, certain pastors that are so stuck in their traditions that they get it passed down to the people who are in their congregation, you know. And so we get stuck in those traditions that are passed down to us through that. Amen. And there's so many things going on in even churches today. Thank God we heard a great message a few weeks ago that the church is not this, but the church is us. I don't know where we heard that from. I mean, somebody was talking about that, but I don't remember who that was. But but we do get stuck so much in things that we do every day that we lose track or sight of where the Lord's taking us. Amen? So, and it's very easy to settle in traditions. And I call it a rut. Eventually you get stuck in a rut, you know, where you're just kind of stuck and you can't get out. When I was a teenager, I used to ride dirt bikes all the time. And I was pretty well known in like the Ida May area and in Carolina over in that, because we used to ride bikes all the time. And, you know, I did crazy stuff when I was on the motorcycle. And but it is very tough when you're riding a motorcycle and you get stuck in a rut. It's hard to get out of that rut. Man, you got to really push and you know, jerk your bike and to get it out of that rut. Well, it's the same way in life. You know, we get stuck in ruts. We get stuck in traditions. We get stuck in certain things. And Pastor Parsley used to say all the time that a rut is simply a grave with the two ends kicked out. You know, it's a place where you die. You know, it's a place where you just get stuck and you can't get out and you need help. Amen. So on point number one, when it says that traditions of men will make the Word of God void, in Matthew chapter 15, it's actually the part B of that verse that actually tells us that, so for the sake of your traditions, you've made void the Word of God. So we do see from the Word of God that if we do get stuck in our traditions, that it's very easy for us to nullify what God's wanting to do in our life. So, and each one of us have been there. I've been there many times in my life where I've allowed the traditions of men. You know, when I first got saved, I was a pretty young man. I was probably about 12 years old, and I had a bunch of buddies sitting with me at church, and they were like, hey, let's go get saved. And I was like, yeah, all right, that sounds good. You know, I didn't feel the Lord tugging on my heart or anything, but I was peer pressured into getting saved. I guess that's a good thing, you know, but you know, so we're all sitting around, and I was like, yeah, let's go get saved, you know, let's go answer the altar call. So, and, but it wasn't until I got out on my own and sowed some wild oats, if you will, and I came back to the Lord about 20 years old, and I told my wife all the time, when I got saved at 20, I got radically saved. I made a decision that I was truly going to serve the Lord, that I was selling out, that I was going to do whatever He wanted me to do, and at that 20 years of age, I knew then and there that there was a zeal inside of me, that there was a drive, there was something pulling me towards a greater thing than just who I am, you know. I knew that there was something inside of me that was saying, you can be great in serving me. You can be great in doing the things that I'm calling you to do, amen. So in the process of me actually getting radically saved, I had this zeal and this passion, and sometimes it was hard for me to explain to people that I don't know how, it's just deep calling unto deep, you know, it's your spirit calling out to the Spirit of God and saying, yes, I can do this, and it was this drive that was pushing me and saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and I knew that I was able to do these things, but then tradition started sneaking in, and I started getting this form and fashion, if you will, you know, and I traded in my zeal and passion for that form and fashion. You know, I started getting very traditional in the things that I was doing. I started having well-meaning Christians coming up to me saying, you know what, you got to pray 2 hours in the morning. You got to read your word for at least 1 hour in the morning. And then you got to pray for another hour before you go to bed at night. And then you got to read your word for another half hour. And I'm thinking, but that's 6-7 hours out of my day. I don't know if I can do that, you know. But I mean, they were well-meaning, and they were like, you know, you got to do these things. And then all of a sudden, people started telling me, well, you can't act that way anymore. You can't say those things. You know, I'm like, well, that's what the Word of God says. Well, you can't say that just to everybody. And I'm like, you know, I mean, well-meaning people started telling me these things, you know. So I started believing it. You know, I started thinking, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a little off here. Maybe I don't know, you know, the Word of God or the voice of God like I think I do. So, you know, I started giving in to all these thoughts of, well, maybe what I'm thinking is the voice of God. Maybe it's just me. You know, maybe he's trying to tell me something, but yet maybe it's just me trying to tell me something. So then I started second-guessing the voice of God in my life. How many of you have ever been there? You know, you're like, I'm not sure about this anymore. I don't know if this is really God or if this is me. So then I started getting a little double-minded. I started getting a little wishy-washy, you know. And then I started getting very traditional and thinking, well, if I'm very confused about this, so maybe I can't do anything for the Lord, you know. So then I started way backing off and really not doing anything for the Lord except little things, very little responsibility, you know. Well, maybe I can greet at the back door. I think that'll be okay. If I just greet at the back door, which isn't, that's a big thing. You know, I'm not putting a little, but for me, the Lord was calling me to greater things, you know, but I was feeling that, okay, well, maybe I'll just back off, you know. So, because everyone's telling me that you got too much zeal, you got too much stuff going on, there's too many things that you want to do, too many things that are happening, and it was like they kept trying to put a wet blanket on me and saying, no, that's not how we do that here, that's not how things are done here, you know. And I started hearing this, that, you know, the voices around me telling me that I was the weak link in the chain, you know. And when I was about 8 years old, I remember my dad, and he was pretty frustrated with me. And how many of you are fathers, and you know you can get frustrated with your kids sometimes, you know. And my dad looks at me when I was about 8 years old, and he points his finger real hard in my forehead and says, "You're thick-headed." And that stuck with me my entire life. You know, I kept thinking I'm thick-headed. And how many of you know what thick-headedness is? It's like nothing sticks. You know, you're unteachable. You know, you're thick-headed. Nothing sinks in. You can't grasp a hold of things easily, you know. And so that kind of sunk in with me, you know. So I had these ministers around me and well-meaning people that were telling me, well, you're the weak link in the chain. You're thick-headed, you know, and that you're unteachable. So, I mean, well-meaning people, but they didn't know what they were saying, but yet I had this thing spoken over my life when I was 8 years old that stuck with me, and it kept coming back. Authority figures that were in my life were telling me these things, you know. So I had to dig down deep and find out, is this thing really true, you know? Well, of course, I come here, I find out that's not true. That's not who I am. I'm not thick-headed, you know. I'm not unteachable. I have my spirit open. I want to learn things. I want to know greater things about God, you know. So here I'm going, you know, coming here and finding out that, you know, you can be healed up from this. This is a word curse. This is something that's been spoken over your life that's not true. So, and how many of you ever heard the power of suggestion? Anyone here know what the power of suggestion is? They've done a study and they found out that, let's say you go into your workplace and you're there for about 15 minutes and somebody walks up to you, you're feeling fine. You're feeling great. Nothing's wrong. And somebody walks up to you 15 minutes after you get to work and says, you know what? You're not looking very good. Are you feeling okay? You're looking a little pale. And then about an hour later, another person will come up to you and say, you know, you don't look very good. Are you feeling okay? You're looking a little pale. And then about an hour later, you know, you're only 2 hours into work, and someone else comes up to you, a third person, and says, you know what? You're not looking very good. You look a little sick. Are you feeling okay? You look a little pale. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, you're feeling a little sick. You're feeling a little pale, you know? You look at your skin like, oh, wait, something's going on here, you know? Maybe I should go home, you know? That's that power of suggestion. You know, that's how that works. But they've done studies on this, and they found out that people who can feel just fine when they go to work, but yet if you have certain people that maybe you look up to, certain people that are in your life, or even just coworkers that you work with every day, they can come up to you, and actually if you give in to those thoughts, then you can actually fall over into that and think that's how you are. In our life, many times we have people that have spoken things into our life, and maybe over a period of time have told us that we're useless, that we're no good, that we'll never achieve anything, that we'll always fail, we'll never overcome. How many of you guys know that's the power of suggestion? And it works in each one of us if we give in to that. But you know what counteracts that? The Word of God. The Word of God tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to show forth the works of God. Amen? I know for a fact that I am blessed coming in, blessed going out. I know that I'm the head and not the tail. It doesn't matter what I do. Everything I set my hands to will prosper. Amen? That's what the Word of God says, and I know that's true. So that counteracts every time those power of suggestions, you know, those words that try and come into our life. It counteracts it. So that's why it's important to have the Word of God deep down on the inside of us, to know that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what people try and speak over us, we know what the Word of God says, and we can counteract it every single time. Amen? And then if we move on past the traditions, we actually find out that Paul in Galatians, he's telling us in point number two, it says, what was started in the Spirit, are you now trying to finish in the flesh? A lot of times in our life, we've had great highs, maybe experienced great things in our life from God. I want to tell you this story. There was a bunch of us that I was trying to figure out what Bible college I wanted to go to. And this was back in, I know this is going to be ancient to some of you, but this was back in 1991. Okay, so this was a pretty long time ago, all right? Some of you may not even been born yet. But 1991, there was a bunch of us that decided we were going to go to Rhode Island, to Zion Bible College. And that's where I was planning on going, hopefully. And there was a bunch of us went into a 15-passenger van, and then we had a couple cars trailing behind us to go up there. And it was from our church. Me and Pastor Donnie, which was my youth pastor at the time, and a friend of mine, Don Jersey, he was my best man at our wedding. We were in the van, but before we left to come home, I don't know if you guys know how far Rhode Island is from here. It's about an 11-hour trip. From here to Rhode Island in Barrington, which is where the Bible college was. So on the way back, before we left, me and Pastor Donnie and Don Jersey decided they had a prayer room upstairs where you could go and pray, but it wasn't very big. So we decided we were going to pray for the trip back and then just pray that God would begin to move in the youth group in a greater way. So we're up there and we're praying, and there was only two of us that could fit in there. So me and Don were in there praying, and Pastor Donnie's outside the door praying. And we just felt the Spirit of God really moving. I mean, God was just really wanting to do something. So we get in the van, we're coming back. And how many of you ever heard of Sandy Patty? Anyone here ever heard of Sandy Patty? She's a great singer and songwriter. Well, I don't remember the name of the song, and I tried to remember for the life of me for this story. I could not remember the song, but every single time I prayed, and it was a cassette tape, okay? This was before CDs, 1991, remember? So these CDs were just getting popular, didn't even know about MP3s or anything like that. And the song went over once, and I'm just sitting in the front seat, and Pastor Donnie's driving, Don Jersey's sitting between us because there was too many kids in the van. And so I hear the song, and the Lord starts moving on me. I'm like, I need to replay the song. So I'm rewinding it. You know, in the cassette tape, you have to guess where the song's at, you know. So you rewind, you're trying to guess where, and I kept stopping it. And then I'd get it to the beginning of the song and play it again, and the Lord starts moving on me and Don Jersey. And I'm sitting there, I'm weeping. I'm crying, man, in the front seat. And while I'm crying, I'm just like, wow, I don't know what's going on, you know. And so I rewound the song again, and it was, if you guys know anything about, we were coming down through Frederick, Maryland, and then you hit Route 70, and it's right before you get to 68, okay? And back then, the interstate wasn't completely finished yet on Route 68. Some of it was still single lane or double lane instead of the four lane. And so we're coming back. We just got off of 70 on a 68. It was probably about, 9 o'clock at night. And so it's getting dark out. And the Lord just, he's really moving on me. He's moving on Don. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but this is awesome. This is great. I mean, just the Spirit of God's moving. And I look at Don, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, Don. This is the Spirit of God's really moving on us. And he's like, I'm going to go back and start laying hands on the kids. And some of them are asleep, and some of them, but he's going back through, and he starts laying hands on the kids. And I start worshiping God. I got my hands raised. And then all of a sudden, I start laughing, and I can't stop laughing. I'm laughing and laughing. I'm grabbing a hold of the sun visor. I'm laughing so hard, I ripped the sun visor off the van. I'm laughing. And then I turn, and I look at Pastor Donnie, and he's praying in tongues. He's going, his eyes are shut, his hands are raised, the van's going down the road, going around turns, still driving. He's got his hands raised. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, Lord, you're doing something here. I don't know what's going on, but this is awesome, And so Don's going back through. He's climbing over kids, kicking him. He's just going nuts, man. And all of a sudden, the kids are crying. Some of them are laughing. One of the kids that are up there at Bible college, their mom's sitting behind Pastor Donnie. She's laughing and going, I got the Spirit. I got the Spirit. She's touching Pastor Donnie. And I guess she had never spoken tongues before. She's speaking in tongues in the van. She got filled with the Spirit without anything. I mean, it was amazing. So this whole time, from the time we get on 68 all the way back here to Fairmont, where the church is, we're having a high time in the van. I mean, it's just amazing. The Lord's just moving on these kids. My sister was even in the van. She's crying. There's another girl sleeping, and she's crying while she's sleeping. All right, I mean, it was just amazing move of God. So we come back, and the parents are waiting on the kids. Granted, by the time we get back, it's like 11:30, almost midnight, By the time we get back or hit a church. Well, when we open up the church van doors, kids are falling out because they're drunk in the Spirit. They're falling out of the van. They can't even walk. So, we're dragging them. The parents are like, what do we do? What's going on here, None of the kids wanted to leave. None of them even wanted to go with their parents. So we all go down to the altar at the church because we just opened up the church, and then Pastor Donnie's like, I don't want to do it, Let's just go pray. Let's keep praying, And so we had after that, the youth group tripled in size. It was just amazing. The Lord started moving on kids and stuff, and we had a bunch of kids called into the ministry but it was beginning in that van just with the Lord moving and doing some great things in these kids' lives. It was just amazing. Well, that high point is what I want to talk about, because the Lord started moving on us in a great way through the Spirit. And that was a high point in our life. And all of us have had, I don't know if you had experiences like that, but all of us have had certain high points in our life where we know that the Lord is real, and no one can convince us otherwise that the Lord is real and that He is who He says He is. And we know for a fact that, a man with experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. In other words, if we've experienced the things of God and we know that God's real, no one can talk us out of it. No one can argue it out of us. Amen? We know for a fact that we are who we are and that God's real. Praise God. And it's those high points in our life that we remember. But after those high points, we got to live life. Amen? We got to come down off of that, and we got to get down in that valley sometimes we don't want to be. Well, when we get down in that valley, we have a tendency to lean on our traditions. Amen. We have a tendency to lean on the things that we fall back into. Maybe something that's familiar to us. Something that, this got me through to my next high point. So I'm going to go back to this, And a lot of times in our life, we're tempted to go back to the things of the flesh. Well, in the church in Galatia here, the reason why Paul wrote this is because people were being saved in Galatia. People were being saved in this church. And, the Jews all of a sudden came in and said, well, you know what? Now you're serving a Jewish God. You're saved, and you're serving this Jewish God, so now you got to follow the Jewish traditions. You got to do these certain things before you can be accepted by this God. Well, Paul's writing to him and saying, who told you this? This is not true. You know, this is not what's going on here. So, you know, Paul says, what was started in the Spirit, you are now trying to finish. Or let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul's saying, how did you accept Jesus? How did you hear about this? Had nothing to do with tradition. Had nothing to do with how you wash your pots, how you wash your hands when you eat, how you walk down the street. It has nothing to do with any of that. Has everything to do with what you heard and what you experienced when you got saved. That's all that mattered. But they were trying to teach them other things. They were trying to teach them the traditions. You know, and we actually find out in Matthew chapter 23, if you want to read that whole chapter, Matthew chapter 23 talks about Jesus was confronting the Pharisees. And six different times in Matthew chapter 23, he called them hypocrites. And he was saying, you know, who deceived you, Pharisees? Who told you these things? You know, you were trained up to learn certain traditions, certain things, but you turned the traditions of men and tried to turn them into doctrines. You know, you took the commandments of men, the things that were taught by other men, and you tried to turn them into doctrines that God never said, this is what you have to do. You know, they completely traditionalized the very thing that God wasn't wanting traditionalized. Amen? So, and it led them down a road, just took them way off course, you know. And that's what they were trying to do with these different churches that were being saved and raised up under Jesus. These Jews were trying to come in and say, okay, now you're serving a Jewish God. Guess what? You got to do these things now or else you're not going to be accepted. You got to get circumcised or else you can't be accepted. You can't make it into heaven. That's not what Paul was preaching, and that's not what God was trying to say. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to wash your hands in a certain way before you eat anymore. Jesus came to set us free from all these things. Amen? Praise God. And point number three, Jesus came to set us free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. This final point is just to let us know that, listen, there are traditions, and they're good traditions. There are certain things that we do that are traditional that's good. But you know what? Jesus came to set us free from all those things. We don't have to be set in certain traditions and certain things. We had church in a church van coming back from Zion Bible College. There was no church there. Amen? I've had church many times in my LLV on the postal route, you know, listening to praise and worship music, lifting my hands and crying, having to pull over because the Lord's moving in my postal van. Amen? I'm having church while I'm delivering mail. It doesn't matter where you're at. It matters who you're with and whether or not you want to be with the Lord, you know? Amen. There's a lot of times when me and Amanda get busy in our life, and we get busy, you know, just life in general, you know, and you can be with one another, but yet not have fellowship with one another. Amen? Like, we've been working on a house probably the last, 2 months now? And we've been so busy trying to do this house that there's a lot of times Amanda's like, I miss you. And I'm like, you're with me every day. And she's like, no, I miss you. You know, she misses her communion with me. You know, her time with me. She might be spending time with me, but it's not quality time. Amen? A lot of times in our religion, in our traditions, in our things that we do, even if we read the Bible, sometimes it becomes mundane. It becomes tradition. Okay, I got to read an hour a day or else I haven't got my checkpoint in. Amen? I went to church today. All right, I fulfilled my moral obligation. Check. You know, why are we coming here? Amen? Are we coming here to fellowship with God? Or are we coming here for moral obligation? Check. I did that today. Well, I read my Bible for an hour. Check. You know, I prayed for 2 hours. Check. But what'd you get out of that 2 hours? Amen? Was you just filling it up with words so you can say you did it? Or were you actually having communion with God? Were you having intimacy with God? Were you forming a greater relationship with Him? You know, I've seen over the years many times, you know, I used to travel with Brother Ted. I used to travel with Brother Shambach. We've had tent meetings. And, you know, I've seen people come through, they shimmy, they shake, you know, they do the Quaker thing. You know, anybody ever seen that Quaker thing going on, you know? And where they fall and they go like this, you know? and then they fall backwards. And I've seen people slain in the spirit. But the thing is, are you changed when you get up? That's the big thing. You know, are you willing to allow God to work in your heart and change you? You know, I've seen people scream and run around the tent, and then afterwards be out there in the parking lot and then cussing up a storm, you know? So that's like, is this changing you? Or is this religious rite? Is this form and fashion? Is this just something that you do, you know? There's nothing wrong with coming to the altar and you know, crying out to God. There's nothing wrong with coming down here and getting prayer every single Sunday, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. But are you allowing God to change you, you know? Or is this a religious rite? Is it something that you're just doing, you know? It's like going to work. So it's the same thing, you know? I go to work. I don't enjoy, you know, my work sometimes. I don't want to be there, you know? But I go because that's something I have to do. So is that why you come here? Is this just something you feel like you have to do? Well, if I don't come, then the pastor's going to ask me next Sunday, where were you, you know? So, I mean, is that why you come, you know? Because you don't want the pastor the following Sunday to ask, where were you, you know? There's a lot of things that we do that we get stuck in our traditions, but Jesus came to set us free from all these things. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Amen. For the law of the Spirit is exactly the same thing. The law of the Spirit is the law of liberty. It's the same thing that James was talking about. In James 1:25, this is the exact same word. It's just worded a little bit different, but it means the same thing. For the law of the Spirit of life. How many of you guys know that when you get stuck in your traditions, when you get stuck in the things that you do every day, when you get stuck in just reading the Bible because you have to read it, when you get stuck in just praying because you pray, it binds your hands. It doesn't free you. It binds you up. Religion binds you. Religion makes you feel stuck. Religion makes you feel like, I can't do this. But how many of you guys know that when you do it freely, when you do it in Jesus Christ, it sets you free? Amen? A man who is free indeed. Praise God. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. When you are free, you know that you're free. Amen? You're not stuck. You're not bound. You don't feel like you can't do this, but you know that you can do all things through Christ when you have that freedom. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we know there's many scriptures. I have all kinds of scriptures here on the actual notes right here that we see that we can actually read that tells us that we can be free. And Jesus came to give us that freedom. Amen. That we don't have to be stuck in those traditions. Those traditions that the Jews were trying to pass down, those things Jesus fought against the entire time he was here on the planet. The 3 years of ministry he was constantly having to fight against the Pharisees, constantly having to fight against religion. You know, when people are telling you that you've got to do a certain thing or be a certain way or do a certain, unless they're speaking into your life and you've asked them to speak into your life, I've asked Pastor Roger and Heather to speak into my life. I've asked them to help me. You know, but somebody who's just saying, well, you shouldn't do that. How many of you have been there before? They're like, you're a Christian. You shouldn't be doing that. Well, who are you to point the finger at me, you know? I mean, unless I've asked you to speak into my life, then really it doesn't matter what you think. Amen? Praise God. See, there's freedom in that, isn't there? When somebody's trying to tell you how to live your life and be a Christian, that binds you up, you know? If you don't feel like praying for 3 hours a day, don't pray for 3 hours a day. Amen? If you don't like reading your word for an hour a day, don't read your word for an hour a day because that binds you up. If you got 5 kids running around and you're working a full-time job and you come home, you got to take care of those 5 kids, you don't have 2 hours to read the word of God. Amen? God knows that. God knows that. Amen? But there may be one scripture verse. I know my wife, a lot of times, there'll be a scripture verse. She'll pick one out and it just sets in her heart. She'll meditate on it for a week. One scripture verse, you know? She's not reading a whole entire chapter and verse. She's not reading a whole entire book in a week. But she's got one verse. But it's speaking to her. It's helping her. It's developing her relationship. Amen? There's freedom in that. Hallelujah. There's freedom in that. Praise God. Praise God. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. And let's just ask. I know maybe some point in time in this message that I preached this morning, you realize that, yeah, man, I've been bound up. I've had problems in my life. I felt like I didn't have that freedom that you were talking about this morning. Maybe there's been times where people have tried to speak things into your life that didn't belong. You knew that wasn't you, but somewhere deep down, you connected with it, and you allowed it to come into your life. If that's you this morning, I just want you to take a moment to think, Lord, is that me? Has any of this spoken to me this morning? I want that freedom that John was talking about. I want that freedom in Jesus Christ. I want that life. I don't want that deadness. I don't want to feel like I'm stuck anymore, but I want to be set free. If that's you this morning, then as we pray, I want you to think about that. And then we're going to have people down front here that are going to pray for you and help you walk through that to get that freedom that you need. Amen? So those of you that are praying, if you want to come forward, and then we're going to pray and believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you for this morning, Father. We thank you for this message. We know that religion holds us back. Religion holds us down. But you came to set us free from those things, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord God. I pray that if there be anybody here, anybody that's having a problem in this area, Lord, I pray that they would just come forward, that they would be willing to step out and say, I want that freedom. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. I just ask and pray that if there be anyone else here that just needs any other kind of prayer, that they would come forward, Lord, and be set free from things that have bound them up, held them back. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this, Lord. And if there's anything else that's going on, we know that you're the Lord and Savior of our lives, that you want good things in our life, not bad things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We love you for that, Lord. And we praise you for the things that you're doing in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.